chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. We don't have no program tonight. We're just, as much as you say, just playing it by ear, doing what we need to do. So if you have your Bibles, turn me to God's Word, Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And I, Lord willing, try to preach to you for the next 15 minutes on a thought that I had as I was reading God's Word, something that we should have here in our lives, in our church, and what God is still looking for. Ezekiel chapter 22. Let's look at verse 30. We'll read that together tonight, then we'll pray and ask God to bless the service for us. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Notice the verse once again, if you will, verse 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap but for me, before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Let's pray together. Father, help our hearts tonight, God, to take this one thought and, God, apply it to our lives, apply it to our church, apply it to our families. God, I so desperately want this to be a part of my life. God, help me not only to preach to them, but preach to myself. God, as we leave this church building tonight, God, that we'll leave here better Christians than when we come in. Father, I pray, God, we'll be determined Christians to make a difference in somebody else's life. Lord, we love you tonight. We need you. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I'm asking this question tonight, will you make a difference? Will you make a difference? My whole Christian life, ever since I've been saved, and I've only been saved for seven years and some months. This July the 9th, we'll be saved for 8 wonderful years, and thank God for that. But ever since I got saved by God's grace, I wanted to make a difference in somebody else's life because God's made a difference in my life. And my friend, I was a hell-deserving, hell-bound, hopeless sinner, my friend. I could not help myself. But God came along and saved my unworthy soul and made me a child of God. And I'm on my way to heaven now. I don't know when I will get there, but I do know that I will get there. I do know heaven is my eternal home. The Bible says I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that might be in the casket, or it might be in the clouds, but we know Christ will come back and get His children, get His bride, get His beloved, and take them to heaven to be with Him forever. You say, "Preacher Scott, what's the greatest thing about heaven?" I've got family members there, and I've been longing to see them. I've got loved ones there I want to see them. I've got friends there I want to see them. We've got church family there we want to see them. But the greatest thing of all is not the street of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. The greatest thing of all is not the tree of life. The greatest thing of all is not them cherubims and the cherubims and the angelic angels. The greatest thing of all is that our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, is there, my friend, today. And we behold the face of our Savior. We look upon Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and for I don't know how many years, but for all eternity, we'll lay down at Jesus' feet and we'll thank Him for what He's done for us, my friend. Hey, we can't thank Him enough. We ought to go ahead and get excited here on this side of eternity. We ought to go ahead and praise God a little bit, my friend. We ought to go ahead and get warmed up. As those batters get in the batter box, they take that bat with a little bit of weight and they get warmed up. They start taking some swings because they're going to get out there on the plate one day and try to hit a home run. My friend, this is the batter box for us. We ought to go ahead and get excited and get stirred up and be enthused about what God can do and what God will do. My friend, we're going to see Him one day. And I don't want my friend to get to heaven and be out of place. I want to get to heaven and fit right on in. As the angelic angels, my friend, they say, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." We still got a holy and righteous God. But here the Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Here God says, "I'm looking for one man to make a difference in somebody's life." And my friend, you look around, and there's so many people in our church today. There's so many people in the world today. There's so many lost young boys and girls today. And somebody needs to make a difference in their lives. Somebody needs to go to their houses and go to their homes and go to their schools and go to where they're at, my friend, and knock on their doors and speak to their hearts about Jesus Christ. Here the Bible says, "I sought for a man among them that would make a difference in somebody else's life."
Let's look here at the situation that was in. In verse 25, the Bible says, there's the conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion. Here the Bible speaks about the prophets, those men of God who are supposed to be foretelling the Word of God and telling others about the coming Messiah. He said, hey, they're not doing their job. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Not only that, but let's look here in verse 26. The Bible says, her priest has violated my laws and have profaned my holy things. Not only was the prophets not doing right, but the priest wasn't doing right. My friend, we've got a lot of people in our day and age. Hey, the government's not going to do right. Them school teachers not going to do right. Here the prophets and the priest wasn't doing right. But let's look here if you would. And in verse 27, the Bible says her princesses is in the midst thereof like a wolves ravening for the prey to shed blood and destroy souls to get dishonor gain. Here the prophet wasn't right. The priest wasn't right. The princess wasn't right, my friend. Hey, there was people that was not right in this time. And I look around, I'm going to tell you, beloved, there's churches that's not right in this time. There's preachers, my friend, that stand behind the pulpit and preaches God's Word. But they do it just for themselves. They do it just for gain. They do it just to tickle people's ears. We was out the other day, we was eating in a restaurant, I believe it was, and another pastor come in, another churchy pastor that I will not tell you, but he come in wearing a pair of slacks and a polo shirt. And my friend, there's nothing wrong with a pair of slacks and a polo shirt. But when you come to God's house, I believe a preacher ought to look like a preacher. Brother David tonight's wearing a tie. And Brother Jeff tonight's wearing a tie. They've got a jacket on. They look like men of God. Hey, my friend, these prophets and priests and princesses, they wasn't doing a job. So God says, hey, I look out among you. I'm searching for one man that will make a difference in the world. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in this world. I want to go through this world. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. I just don't want to be Scott Bass, a preacher. Scott Bass, a child of God. I want to be Scott Bass, a servant for the Lord. Have a servant heart and be obedient to God and make a difference in somebody's life. Here the Bible says, look at what it says here in verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. God's only looking for just a few people. Hey, God can save by many or save by few. God's only looking for one person that will totally surrender herself to God. Here God said, I'm looking for one man. I'm looking for one girl. I'm looking for one boy. I'm looking for one woman. I'm looking for one grandpapa. I'm looking for one grandmama. I'm looking for just one person. He said, I'm looking. He said, I sought for the man among them that I should make up the hedge. He said, I'm looking for somebody to make up the hedge. You know what a hedge is tonight? A hedge is a place of safety. A hedge is a place of serenity. A hedge is a place of protection, my friend. Here, just as my son and I, he's my flesh and blood. He's the one, my friend, that God's given us. And the Bible says that God's looking for a man to make up the hedge. You know what a hedge is? A hedge is this right here. Hey, you're not going to come to him unless you get through me. You're not going to hurt him unless you can hurt me. You're not going to take his life until you take my life. God says, I'm looking for just a few good people that's going to stand up and make a hedge around our church and make a hedge around our young people and make a hedge around our preachers and make a hedge around our pastors and make a hedge in this world and protect the world from wrath and protect the world from judgment and protect the world from hell for telling them about Jesus Christ. I bet you if somebody breaks in our house tonight, they're going to do whatever they have to get through me before they can get to them. Thank you. Said, I remember Brandon one night woke up, sleepwalking, half asleep and half awake. He can sit down. Thank you. Brandon got up and decided to go outside about 2 o'clock in the night. I don't know what he went outside for, but we had the alarm set. He was sleepwalking. We had the alarm set on the house, and as soon as he unlocked the deadbolt and unlocked the doorknob, he opened up the door and beep, 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 beep. The alarm went off. But my wife jumped up out of bed. I jumped up out of bed. I was looking for a baseball bat. I was looking for a shotgun. I was looking for a telephone. I was going to take something in my hands, my friend, and beat the devil out of whoever come in our house. And we noticed, my friend, when we got to the door, Brandon got so scared he jumped back on the couch. We didn't know it was him. We was going through the bedrooms, looking in the beds, looking up under the beds, in the closets, in the showers, in the kitchen pantry, in the refrigerator, in the freezer. We looked all through the house for somebody, my friend, because we didn't want nothing to happen to our children. Here God says, I'm looking. And I sought for a man among them that shall make up the hedge. Boy, it's not a whole church. God said, I'm just looking for one person to make a difference in somebody's life. I'm looking for one person that will show your existence in somebody else's life and make a difference for them. I think about these young people God's given us. Boy, He didn't just give us young people to grow up and get married and move off. God's given us young people to train them up in the way of the Lord. There's a whole bunch of difference in training and bringing. A lot of people quote that verse, bring up a child in the way he should go. But the Bible says, train up a child. How you train them in God's Word. And you teach them to pray. You teach them to read God's Word. You teach them to go soul winning. You teach them to be faithful to church. You teach them how to dress. You teach them how to speak. You teach them how to be polite. You, my friend, the Bible says, we've got to put a hedge around the young people in our church. Justin, he'll tell you. Every Tuesday night, you know what Justin says? He'll say, Mommy, Daddy, can I go visiting with you? Can I go visiting with you? Why does he say that? Because we've drug them on visitation many times. We've drugged them to this church many times. We're dragging our children along with us, my friend. You say they're coming screaming and kicking. Yes, they are. But they're still coming, my friend. And we're trying to train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And beloved, we need people to stand in the gap. We need people to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. I'm looking at Open Door Independent Baptist Church. I'm looking at the core group of church tonight, my friend. And all of us, I can say we're the heart of the church because of the majority of the time we're all here and we're all participating and we've all been involved and we're all faithful and paying our tithes and praying and doing what God wants us to do. But God says, hey, I'm looking for one more person that will stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. You ever walked across a bridge that was made out of planks of wood? If a plank was missing, if a piece of wood was missing, no matter how strong and sturdy the bridge was, if a piece is missing, you'll be unsure about it. You'll be scared about it. You'll be intimidated about it. You wouldn't want to cross it. You wouldn't want to walk on it because you saw the one piece of missing. God says, hey, I'm looking for one man. I'm looking for one woman. I'm looking for one mama, one daddy who will stand in the gap. He'll make up the gap. Who will make up a hedge and stand in the gap. God says He's looking for one person. He's not looking for a mega church. Boy, He's not looking for how good the choir can sing. Although the choir is getting better, thank God for that. He's not looking for how many people plays a musical instrument in church. He's not looking at how many people can sing a solo. He's just looking for one person who has a servant's heart, who wants to make a difference in somebody else's life. My friend, I'm determined to make a difference in somebody's life. You know where we need to start? We need to start with our families. Make a difference in our family's lives. Make a difference in our family's lives. Notice the verse here. The Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that shall make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Boy, that's hard to believe, ain't it? God says, out of all of God's people of Israel, out of all of Israel, God said, I'm looking for one man who's going to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. He said, well, I need somebody who's going to make a difference for God. I need a young girl, a young boy who's going to be determined now they're going to make a difference for God. That they're going to wait and marry the one God wants them to marry. That they're going to, my friend, do what God wants them to do. That they're going to just surrender now to God and say, God, I'm going to be the one person that's going to make a difference in my life for the whole world. Whole world. I can tell you, men of God like David Brainerd lived to be 29 years old, died of TBs. He coughed his lungs up, but he made a difference. He surrendered himself to the Lord to go out there to those Indian savages, is what he called them, to preach the gospel to them. And all he could find was an old drunk that could translate English into the language of the Indians, my friend. And he used that drunk, my friend, to preach his messages to the Indians so the Indians would get saved. Think about Charles Spurgeon, one man. Boy, had a great education. And God used him. God used him in a mighty way to train other pastors, other preachers in the ministry. I think about a fellow named D.L. Moody. Didn't have a good education. In fact, his mama was so poor, his mama said, son, I can't afford to feed you. I can't afford to clothe you. The best thing you can do is to leave my house and to leave my home and try to take care of yourself. So D.L. Moody done that. And God's working in his life got him saved. And my friend, God used him to preach revival meetings that last for years. God's looking for one person. Don't matter if you're educated or dumb. Don't matter if you're a city folk or a country pumpkin like me. For God's just looking for one person that says, God, here I am. Use me. He said, I want you to stand before me and for the land. He said, I saw, but I found none. Jude chapter 22, what Jude, only one chapter, verse 22 said, and some having compassion, making a difference. You know what we need to make a difference in people's lives? Compassion. We need to see these young boys and girls growing up without a church, growing up without a mom and daddy who loves God, and say, I'm going to make a difference in their lives. We need to look at our neighbors' children, children that goes to school, children that's in public school and private school and Christian school. They're all alike, my friend. They need somebody to take them under their wings and say, hey, I'm going to be personally responsible for you. I'm going to be personally accountable for you. And I want to make a difference in your life. I can tell you, you made a difference in my life. I've looked around and I see good people who's made a difference in my life. I look around and I see people who's encouraged me, people who's prayed for me, people who's come up to me and said, Pastor, I love you. I've been praying for you. I think about people that called me on the phone and said, Preacher, I just thought about you, and I want you to know I love you, and I've been praying for you. I'm asking God to help you, my friend. Hey, that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to this pastor. Hey, that somebody cares, and somebody wants to make a difference, and somebody's going to take time out of their lives to be obedient to God and say, God, here I am, use me. God says, I'm looking out amongst God's people for one person to make a difference. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you going to be that one person? Can Justin be that one person? He can. Can Rennie and Cindy be that one person? They can. Can Sister Opal be that one person? She can. God says, I'm just looking for one who will step out by faith and say, God, here I am. Use me for thy glory. He's looking for one. Father, help our hearts tonight. As the other two men come to preach here just a little bit, God, I pray you use them to preach our hearts. God, get us ready now for the singing and the preaching of that word. And oh God, we love you. I pray, God, I want to be that one man. D.L. Moody was quoted saying, it has yet to be seen what God can do with one man who will yield all to him. God, I want to be that one man. Help me. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray.